Good evening, friends. Stephen and Yana Benoon here with Israeli News Live, and we have our special guest, Deborah Tavares with StopTheCrime.net and also PrimaryWater.org. Did I get those websites right, Yana?
Yes, yes, I'm sure you did. And welcome, Deborah. Deborah is going to give us new information. She has new documents that she needs to discuss with us. As well as she's going to remind all of us that we, as a country, we are run by executive orders and what it means for us. Well, welcome, Deborah.
Well, thank you. Again, this is Deborah Tavares with StopTheCrime.net and, yes, PrimaryWater.org. It is Wednesday, October the 6th of 2021, and I'm going to be going over a document from the World Economic Forum. I don't know how many of you have heard about this document, but you will now. Basically, what we're going to see is millions of devices will be taken offline. And the only way they are telling us, and we're talking about computer devices, and what they're telling us is the only way to stop the exponential propagation of a cyber COVID, they're calling it cyber COVID, would be to fully disconnect all vulnerable devices from one another and the internet to avoid infection. They're telling us that the whole world would experience a cyber lockdown until a digital vaccine was developed. All businesses' communication and data transfers would be blocked. Social contact will be reduced to people contactable in your immediate area in-person visits. Copper landlines or snail mail or short wave radio. Now, I want to tell you about the landlines. By 2025, there will be no more copper landlines. Everything will be digital, and that's for a reason, because we are being disconnected. Not only were we thrust into isolation and a lockdown, we're now going to be thrust into the unthinkable, and that's the reduction of connectivity between one another. In other words, an opportunity such as what you're hearing right now won't happen. You won't hear a show like this. And I won't be able to report from Northern California because there won't be an ability to do that because everything will be shut down. Just as we're seeing everything being shut down right now, all communications are controlled. And after I go over this particular report, I will be discussing how communications are already controlled. We see that. So this is on the website, the World Economic Forum. It is under Agenda 2020, 06, COVID-19 pandemic teaches us about cybersecurity. That's how you can find this. And I'm going to go through this now. So it's important to understand and listen carefully, because you, whatever workarounds any of you can come up with, you need to. So what they're telling us is that the COVID-19 pandemic has taught all of us about cybersecurity and how to prepare for the inevitable global cyber attack. And I will say one thing. They did discuss this in the Rockefeller document of 2010. And this is much more detail than what was described in that document. But they talk about how a global pandemic, cybersecurity, cyber attack risk, cyber COVID virus app, and coronavirus. They say a COVID-like global cyber pandemic is coming. And here's how the leaders are preparing. And this was January 1st of 2020. Now, I don't know about you, but I did not know that Nicholas Davis was the professor of practice. You may want to look that up. Professor of practice. There have been many practices on reducing your ability to connect. I know here in Northern California, we've had the internet go down. Cell towers have been intentionally burned up. And when we were in 2017 getting evacuation orders, people could not get any information on their cell phones. It was all cut. So this is all part of what the training has been, and it's expanding. So they go on to tell us that averting a cyber pandemic and how the businesses, we're talking about businesses, are building a global response to cybersecurity risk. These are businesses. This is commerce. This is not us. They're not telling us how to do this. But it shows the world is at risk of disruption of pandemics and cyber attacks and environmental tipping points. And of course, we know environmental tipping points are all the intentional creation of the use of weapons, weather weapons. So they tell us we should prepare for a COVID-like global cyber pandemic that will spread faster and further than a biological virus with an equal or greater economic impact. The coronavirus crisis provides insights into how leaders can better prepare for such cyber risks. They go on to say that most of the world is currently experiencing highly atypical living conditions as a result of COVID-19. And at the height of this pandemic, more than 2 billion people were under some form of lockdown. And 91% of the world's population, or 7.1 billion people, live in countries with border controls or travel restrictions due to the virus. Now, this is what is being implemented as a result of the virus, border controls and travel restrictions. And we talked about how we will have the inability to travel state to state here in the United States very soon. But I will not digress here, because they talk about how our new normal isn't COVID-19 itself, it's COVID-like incidences. A cyber pandemic is probably an inevitable as the future disease pandemic. The time to start thinking about the response is, as always, yesterday. So have you been warned? Has any media, anybody told you to prepare for complete blackout and outages where you can't connect to anyone unless you can walk over and see them, or you have a copper landline for the time being until those are no longer serviced by our telecom industry? By 2025, there won't be any. There won't be any landlines as we have known them. So they go on. Lesson one, a cyber attack with characteristics similar to the coronavirus would spread faster and further than a biological virus. The reproductive rate of COVID-19 is somewhere between 2 and 3 without any social distancing, which means every infected person passes the virus to a couple of other people. This number affects how fast a virus can spread. The number of infected people in New York State was doubling every 3 days before the lockdown. By contrast, estimates of cyber attacks are 27 and above, one of the fastest worms in history. In 2003, they called it the slammer worm, doubled in size approximately every 8.5 seconds, spreading to over 75,000 infected devices in 10 minutes and 10.8 million devices in 24 hours. In 2017, the WannaCry attack exploited a vulnerability in older Windows systems to cripple more than 200,000 computers in 150 countries. It was halted by emergency patches and the accidental discovery of a kill switch. The cyber equivalent to COVID-19 would be a self-propagating attack using one or more zero-day exploits, techniques for which patches and specific antivirus software signatures are not yet available. Most likely, it would attack all devices running a single common operating system or application. Lesson two, the economic impact of a widespread digital shutdown would be the same magnitude or greater than what we are currently seeing. If a cyber COVID mirrored the pathology of the novel coronavirus, 30% of the infected systems would be asymptomatic and spread the virus, while half would continue functioning with performance severely degraded, the digital equivalent of being in bed for a week. Meanwhile, 15% would be wiped out with total data loss, requiring a complete system reinstall. And they go on. again, the only way to stop it, which I said in the beginning of this discussion, is to stop the cyber attack would be to fully disconnect from all vulnerable devices from one another and the internet to avoid the infection. And the whole world would experience a cyber lockdown. And all businesses, communications, data transfers would be blocked. Social contact would be reduced to people, again, that you can only contact in person by walking over and visiting them, or the use of a copper landline, or snail mail, or shortwave radio. A single day without the internet would cost the world more than $50 billion. A 21-day global cyber lockdown would cost over $1 trillion. This is a 20-day. They're going to do this. They have promised us this will happen. The total cost impact of one day without the internet in the world, just one day without the internet, would cost the world more than $50 billion to all of us, the taxpayers. A cyber lockdown would also introduce novel challenges for digitally dependent economies. And during the 2020 Australian bushfires, power outages and damage to mobile phone infrastructure gave citizens a new found appreciation for battery-operated FM radios. Now, I hope you're hearing some of the things you are going to need. You are going to need battery-operated FM radios. But if cyber COVID rages a country with radio station, which radio stations would still operate without digital recording and transmission systems? Would states like Norway, which has completed its transition to digital radio, be able to roll back? It would not be able to roll back. There would be nothing left to roll back on, not as everything was disabled. Lesson three, recovery from the widespread destruction of digital systems would be extremely challenging. Replacing 5% of the world's connected devices would require around 71 million new devices. It would be impossible for manufacturers to rapidly scale up production to meet demand, particularly if manufacturing and logistics systems are affected. For systems that survive, there would be a significant bottleneck in patching and reinstallation. The geographic concentration of electronics manufacturing would create other challenges. For example, they tell us in 2018, China produced 90% of the mobile phones, 90% of the computers, and 70% of televisions. Finger pointing about the source and motive of the cyber attack, as well as competition to be first in line for supplies, would inevitably lead to geopolitical tensions. You think tensions is the right word? If we're shut down globally at billions of dollars? No, be way more than tensions. The World Economic Forum Center for Cybersecurity is leading the global response to address systematic cybersecurity challenges and improve the digital trust. We are an independent, they go on to tell us who they are. They're part of taking us down. Our community has three priorities, and they go on to talk about that. But what I want to point out in this document is the digital rollback and continuity plans are essential to ensuring organizations can continue to operate in the event of a sudden loss of digital tools and networks. And they go, as MeriQuest learned during the NotPetya cyber attack in 2017, which took out 49,000 laptops and printers and wiped all contracts from their Outlook phones. A necessary part of the digital transformation is having sensitive and important information stored and accessible in physical printed form. We don't do that anymore. We need to have accessible printed form material. But perhaps the most important lesson, COVID-19 has known an anticipated risk. So too is the digital equivalent. So what we're facing here is a planned cyber attack of such enormity that the world does not come out of this. We will not come out of this. And what we have learned by looking at many of the documents is that as we are disconnected by communities, We won't be able to discuss between communities because there will not be the connectivity, and we will be on our own. There will be areas where people will be able to survive better than others because they will be able to compare notes as to what they're doing and how they will survive. But by and large, areas will be cut off, just like when we were all told we had to stay in our homes. Cut off. Don't see your friends. Don't visit anybody. Stay away. Well, this is how they're cutting communications to enforce that same reality on all of us. And as I look at this COVID-19 pandemic from the World Economic Forum, and I look at what they're telling us will happen, it will happen, and the enormity and the cost, there is no amount of money that we can throw at this kind of loss. The devastation will be more than decades, more than decades. And they go on to tell us much, much more in this document. But I can tell you that you must prepare. You need many types of communication devices in order to talk to people in your next town. So if it's possible for all of you to get together and think about what those types of communication devices would be, because as I have suggested in the past, have a power outage party. And I've talked about imagining that you have no power and live in your home without any electricity or the ability to turn on your water or to flush your toilets. Well, now we need a digital power outage where we have nothing coming in on our computers. Your cell phones do not work. What are you going to do to prepare? It's telling you here what you need to do to prepare. You need FM radios. You need a number of things. So this is a beginning story of this, because this is coming upon us very quickly, very quickly, because we can see through the control and tight control of communication already, and as they call it, the cancel culture, and what YouTube and all the platforms are doing to cancel people's opinions and viewpoints, that we won't even be able to communicate. You would not be able to hear me right now. You would not know if the fires were raging and we were gone. And you would not, and I would not know what's happening to any of you where you are either. We would be and will be cut off. This is the plan. We're on a platform that we will not be able to overcome easily unless we prepare in advance and now. And I will cover this in more detail. I can tell you that right now we're experiencing the unthinkable here in Northern California. Many people that I know are having their fire insurance policies canceled. And, of course, many of you already know that you don't have flood coverage. And we're experiencing continued types of targeting. But right now what I want to go over with all of you is how can all this be happening? Everyone has to be asking this question. What is allowing all of this to happen? Well, let's talk about one aspect of what this is. And it's literally an acronym called LAW, L-A-W. It is the intentional policy control of all land, all air, and all water, and everything in between. So what do I mean by that? I'm going to be going over a few executive orders so that you'll understand how this country runs. Because what I am seeing now with the pleas of many people going before their local public health agencies, they're going before their local city councils, they're going to state representatives, they're going in droves and being given maybe 3 minutes, in some instances a little more if they can get on the calendar. And people that have not been engaged in understanding how the corporate structure works and that all of your cities are incorporated, they are not doing business for you. They are doing business for the corporation. And there's nothing more painful for those of us that have walked that journey already lived in those rooms for 3-minute conversations for many years, and then coming to the hard factual realization that we are in a corporate structure and our presumed elected officials do not represent us. So when you have the opportunity to speak at a meeting, it is really advised that you let the board know, whatever board you're talking to, that you realize they are a corporation, that they do not represent you, and present your case to the people that are listening. If you're going to be filming it and spreading it in your community, it's most important to understand what we don't have. And we don't have a government. We exist today in name only. In name only, it is not real. When I mean it's not real, it is not real. It's been an illusion. So we're going to talk about a few executive orders. I'm going to name some presidents that pulled these executive orders or put these executive orders in place. It's important to understand this is not any type of right versus left. It has nothing to do with who's president, because they are only puppets. They're taking orders from the controllers and the overlords. So as you hear me say names, it's only in reference to the dates that some of these types of executive orders existed. And I think after you understand that we are, this country is operated through the executive branch. And whenever I want information, I go to the Federal Registry. That's where all of you should be going, to executive orders and the Federal Registry. I'm going to go over some of that now, but I want to first let you know, I did a video a number of years ago, and it's called Who's Running America and the Cap, C-A-P, Who's Running America and the Cap. I had hundreds of thousands of views. I would certainly suggest that you go to stopthecrime.net, to the Odyssey video channel, and you listen to that video, Who's Running America and the Cap. And you will find out we are not running America. And you will find out what the law firms have been involved in. They have written these diabolical policies that we have fallen into and under. So I think it's most important to understand that, and it's said, of course, in Senate Report 93549, that the emergency powers statutes, in order for the United States to maintain dictatorial control and authorization of the many divisions of agencies of the executive branch, every sitting president must formally declare a national emergency every single year. This is being done. They're declaring a national state of emergency. And this has been an ongoing ritual since 1933, according to Senate Report 93549. And once the emergency is declared, the common law is abolished, the Constitution has been abolished, and we fall under the absolute will of governance, which is public policy. We're under a system of public policy, which is war powers. All the government needs to continue to have public opinion on their side, if public opinion can be kept in sufficient degrees on the side of the government, statutes, laws, and regulations, and executive orders can continue to be passed. It is because we have not understood how government works. And this is by no fault of ours. This was a highly controlled operation on all of us, and we've sadly all been also chemically lobotomized. There's many reasons why we have not been able to understand reality. But I shall not digress with that. I'm going to very quickly, before I get into the executive orders, Stephen Yana, I want to talk about the importance of looking at the inserts in your utility bills, because I'm going to read you a paragraph that I just got out of my Southern California Edison electricity bill. And this is September of 2021, so this is just right hot off the press. I've seen this many times in my bill, but it's most important for me to read all of this to you now because of the exponential deployment of wireless and how this is going to lead to absolute devastation and mind control, and what is happening with the connectivity of dormant vaccines we've been given over the many, many decades that actually create the toxins once we have an increased electromagnetic field and an environment. So here is what I found in my bill. It said understanding EMF, which means electric and magnetic fields. The results from many research studies have been evaluated by international, national, and California EMF research programs to determine whether EMF poses any health risks. Given the uncertainty of the issue, the medical and scientific communities have been unable to conclude that usual residential exposures to EMF causes health issues or effects, or to establish any standard or level of residential exposure that is known to be either safe or harmful. These conclusions remain unchanged by recent studies. So there you have it about frequencies. I also want to underscore water, because we're being told that we're running out. We're certainly going to see many draconian reduced water allotment rules and regulations, and those are happening now. You can live right next to the Great Lakes, and you're going to run out of water. You will run out of water. And when you look at the plans, water and electricity and the requirement to be tied into the smart meter is how we're going to prevent climate change. That's what those plans tell us. So in my water bill, for example, and it's getting worse by the day, we're in a stage 2 water restriction. It goes all the way to stage 6, where we have to reduce our water by 50% using a base of the year 2020. So imagine whatever your usage was of water in 2020, you will reduce your consumption by 50%. But I know with the way it's heading, it will be more than that. They will restrict it more than that, the use of water. So in my bill, I did see and this particular insert. It said, help save water during a drought. Well, again, remember, this is a planned and manipulated drought. This is all planned. And so many of the things that are mentioned that you should do are certainly things you would do whether we were in a drought or not. You wouldn't want to have leaky plumbing. You wouldn't want to have hoses on driveways that are left running. You would want to have automatic shutoff nozzles. All of that you would want, whether we're in a drought or not, just to be conservative of water, which, of course, water is a renewable. We are the water planet. So when you go to primarywater.org, you will find out why we are not running out of water. But we are being told we must, in many instances, not water any outdoor landscaping. And some areas can only water outdoor landscaping a couple of days a week and only between certain times. Again, we're in the minimum reduction right now, soon to increase dramatically. And if we're cut off from communication, you won't hear me tell you about this. So I can only tell you what you're hearing now, because I don't know how long we'll be able to transmit. I'm being hit massively. I'm being taken off of the ability to receive my emails. My phone is disrupted, and I can only tell you it's becoming very, very difficult to communicate from my end in my world. But let's go into some of these executive orders so that you understand. This is a FEMA list of presidential executive orders, and it's important to note that on February 16th of 1962, the then President John Kennedy signed several executive orders which gave certain dictatorial powers to appointed bureaucrats in the event of a national emergency, and if that was declared. Well, we're in an annual declared state of national emergency. You heard me tell you that based on Senate Report 93549. And it goes, whichever president is sitting in office, they have this authority. Well, we know that. At the president's discretion, in any time of increased international tension or economic financial crisis, all executive orders would be enacted. We're going to go over these executive orders so you understand the betrayal we've all been in this country. You need to understand this. The executive order signed by Kennedy then gave authority to the Federal Emergency Management Agency to control all communications, energy, food, fuel, farms, transportation, highways, railroads, inland waterways, seaports, health, education, and welfare. They can draft citizens into workforces under government supervision. They can relocate populations, designate areas to be abandoned as unsafe, and relocate communities and control all public storage facilities and more. Now, why would they abandon communities? Well, if you're not able to have your own water or your own electricity on your property, if you do not have either one of those, the public health authority, which is a corporation, is going to tell you it is unsafe to further reside on your property, and they will forcibly relocate you for your safety to a different location. This is going to happen. I have read documents about this through the EPA. Then, also, on February 27th of 62, Kennedy signed Executive Order 11051, designating FEMA as the authorized agency to implement the above orders, and which authority can be redesignated by the original authority. And then President Nixon signed Executive Order 11490, combining all of the above to be enacted in one full swoop. And on July the 20th of 1979, Carter added a few minor amendments to them. And in June of 94, then President Bill Clinton signed Executive Order 12919, which appears to encompass all of the executive orders. So none of these have fallen off. If any of you are thinking, oh, they maybe aren't real since this has happened so long ago, but these executive orders actually were far earlier in time than even Kennedy, and you're going to hear about that in a moment. Executive orders that would nullify any of the above, so everything is in play. The plan for total control of every aspect of our lives has been under construction for a very long time. The Emergency Health Powers legislation gives the governors the power to declare a state of health emergency by executive orders. We've already gone through this. So now I'm going to go through a list of executive orders. I have done this over the years, but this is now important to bring this back because, again, I see so many people humbly going before their understanding of their elected local officials and appreciating the time to give them their 3 minutes so they can tell them that certain things they're very fearful of might kill them. And they then thank you very much to the perpetrators sitting in front of them. That is what they are. They're all perpetrators. So here we go. The Emergency Health Power Acts are varying forms of anti-terror bills, and they are virtually redefining the words terror and terrorism and terrorist. So here is Executive Order 10995, seizure of all communications media in the United States. Executive Order 10997, seizure of all electric power, fuels, and minerals, public and private. Executive Order 10999, seizure of all means of transportation, including personal cars, trucks, or vehicles of any kind, and to control highways and seaports and waterways. Now remember, this is the acronym LAW. All land, air, and water, and everything in between. Executive Order 11000, seizure of all American people for workforces under federal supervision, including the splitting up of families if the government finds it necessary. What are we seeing now? All of you are realizing this is coming to pass. Executive Order 11001, seizure of all health, education, and welfare facilities, public and private. Executive Order 11002 empowered the Postmaster General to register all men, women, and children in the United States. Executive Order 11003, seizure of all airports and aircraft. Seizure. Executive Order 11004, seizure of all housing and finance authorities to established force relocation designated areas to be abandoned as unsafe. Seizure of all housing. Executive Order 11005, seizure of all railroads, inland waterways, storage facilities, public and private. Executive Order 12919, signed June 3rd of 1994 by President Clinton, encompasses all of the above executive orders. I will continue because I think it's most important that all of us understand what has happened to this country. Drip by drip by drip. In fact, they use the turtle as the visual of how slowly they creep. And they never back up. They just simply withdraw and sit there until they can creep forward again. And I want to get into what they talk about, the control of water, but I want to also go over how the Environmental Protection Agency is going to go forward, as well as other agencies, to literally take our properties. And they go on to talk about how they've amended many laws. I think it's very important to understand how incrementally they changed the names and amended certain executive orders. I'm going to go over some of that now so that you'll understand the importance of these amendments, because they changed, they deleted Post Office Department and substituted from then on the United States Postal Service. Now remember, the United States is a corporation, USA Inc. It's listed on Dun & Bradstreet. It's doing business. So they're taking the name, a name change again, Post Office Department, and putting it under the corporation, United States Postal Service. They also are encompassing all credit unions, and so this is important. They're calling credit unions National Credit Union Administration. So why is that important? Well, I hear many people say, well, our savings deposits will be safe in a local credit union. No, they're under the umbrella of the National Credit Union Administration. And I will go over this. Executive Order 11921 talks about developing plans for emergency assistance to public water supplies, utilities, working as necessary through agencies having primary responsibility with state and local governments. This is what we are seeing happening now. They are managing all water supplies. They have developed, under the guidance of the Department of Interior, plans and programs designed to meet water requirements in an emergency in watershed areas regulated by the Army Corps of Engineers or other Department of Defense elements. Now, I have gone over who controls the water. I have a very important video up on the different corporate agencies worldwide that are controlling the world's illusion that we're running out of water and privatizing the water. I've gone over that in detail. I'm only going to mention this now because the water has already been taken. It's already been taken. We see it here happening in California, different communities. It's happening in other states where there are fires. They're even wondering if there's going to be enough water to fight fires. They've already determined that fighting the fires with overhead dumps of toxins that they used to use, the fire retardants, is now too toxic because they got caught. So they're not going to be using that as much. In fact, I have a very important video up on StopTheCrime.net about how toxic that has become in communities. There's over 5,000 communities in the United States alone that have suffered from fire retardant being washed off of runways, and how that has gotten into the local groundwater supply and caused massive cancer in those communities. You can go again to StopTheCrime.net to the Odyssey video channel and listen to this heart-pounding story from these people in these areas that are dying and are very sick. So they talk about, they amended another section to read as follows. Water means all usable waters from all sources within the jurisdiction of the United States, which can be managed, controlled, and allocated to meet emergency requirements. I hope you heard that. Water means all usable waters from all sources. Now, a number of years back, the EPA was caught in creating a mapping process of all water sources within this country. And they were caught creating that map, and the politicians that discovered it were quite dismayed over the fact that the EPA had acquired such a defined and detailed map. We're talking about drainage ditches. We're talking about waterways that you would not consider to be a waterway, including seasonal creeks. Everything is mapped, all water sources. They go on to talk about water development, overall plans for management, control, allocation of the water resources of the nation in an emergency. Well, we are in an emergency. We are in an emergency drought. We are being told we're in a water conservation emergency. Establish a system of priorities for the use of water in periods of emergency. Coordinate the emergency water planning efforts of those departments. We're talking corporate agencies and other agencies having specific statutory or delineated water responsibilities. Now, remember, statutory rules are not ours. That's a corporate statutory term for their meaning of the law. Coordinate all overall plans with those developed by the Environmental Protection Agency. Well, I just posted on my website the most horrific one of the many horrific EPA violations. There is a whistleblower from the EPA who has written a book, and he is disclosing what is happening and has happened already with all of the bio sludge, the sewer sludge from the wastewater treatment plants. Go to StopTheCrime.net and watch the video. Toxic sludge in your town, and that is from the wastewater treatment plants. We have already been poisoned. Understand what already happened, and consider getting the book by Lewis, L-E-W-I-S, and I'm trying to think of the name of that book right now, but it is in that video. Order that book. But again, they're going to provide potable water for community needs. Now, let's describe what potable water is now being defined as. A potable water is going to be used from tertiary, which is sewer sludge, which is the heart, the solids and the liquids in the wastewater treatment plants. Under President Trump, he signed a bill to build more wastewater treatment plants, so that in a time of shortage of water and during the time of drought, we would have plenty to drink. We would drink our own waste, including all of the pharmaceuticals that are deadly. There's really nothing more deadly than to be re-drinking what we eliminate from our bodies with all of the pharmaceuticals and the poisons. This is now the goal, the goal. So they go on to talk about developing any plans relating to water for use on farms and in food facilities. Assure that these plans are in harmony and in agreement with the plans and programs of the Department of Agriculture. The Department of Agriculture is a department of death. It really is. We have relied on these names believing that they protect us. They do not. They're corporations for profit. And they are creating now food that is not livable and water that is not drinkable. They go on to say, provide national leadership and coordination for the development of federal emergency plans for the management and allocation of water resources in the national interest during an emergency. Well, remember, we're always in an annual state of emergency since 1933. Coordinate emergency water resource planning at the state level, interstate, and local levels through the appropriate federal departments and agencies concerned with each of these plannings. I'm going to continue because there's a few more that I want to discuss, and then I'll go into a few more things. They talk about develop under the guidance of the Department of Interior plans and programs for water to be used in agricultural production and food processing in an emergency. So now let's talk about what I discovered within the Department of Interior that has SWAT teams. And what I dug up that is in the video that I reposted, that I pulled all the information in 2014, and I did this video in 2015. It's called Water Wars, Stealing Water for Profit and Control. That's been re-uploaded on StopTheCrime.net on our Odyssey channel. Please listen to that, because what was discovered about the Department of Interior is unthinkable. We're talking about how they will come in to communities and literally pull the guns out and move people off their lands. And that is was on their website. And I have the documents within that video. Again, Water Wars, Stealing Water for Profit and Control. They go on to talk about how there will be how they will lay claim to all the water. So many people believe that they have water rights or old water rights. And so they're saying you can't supersede our old water rights. Well, yes, they have been. I've been watching it here in Northern California and elsewhere. Develop a system and procedures to provide essential industrial water resource claims and requirements to the Department of Interior in an emergency. They talk about how laying claim for all resources shall include materials, manpower, equipment, supplies, services, and water. This is laying claim to all resources. They go on to talk about, in Executive Order 11921, they say determination of the proper appointment and allocation for control of total civil transportation capacity, service, equipment, and facilities, or any portion thereof, to meet overall essential civil and military needs. Executive Order 11921. Again, also in that executive order, they talk about regulation of highway traffic in an emergency through a national program in cooperation with all federal, state, and local government units concerned to assure efficient and safe utilization of available road space. Now, I know, Steve, that we have talked about this in a recent video that we did where you had intel that talked about how the roadways were going to be controlled, and we would not be able to use the roadways without having certain documentation. Isn't that right?
That is true, Deborah. That's been something that's been pre-planned for quite some time, that they would shut down the roadways. In fact, I was told not too long ago that this will be one of the first things they do, and people were worried about that there was going to be a lockdown coming. It's not so much that it's a lockdown, but that they would actually begin to, on the larger cities, they would begin to control the access coming and going. And unless you had, the proper documentation, which has a lot to do with these vaccine passports, you weren't going to be going anywhere or doing anything.
And that's the case. They also talk about, in that same executive order, again, referring to potable water, that's drinkable water. It means drinkable water from all sources required for use in community water supply systems. So let's get back into that definition. They're redefining what is now drinkable water, as I said earlier. You will be drinking toilet to tap. Right now, in a city nearby where I am, a city called Healdsburg within Sonoma County. The people in Healdsburg, it's a beautiful high-end single-family city. It has quite a bit of character. It's a go-to visitors location. In fact, in Healdsburg, just today, one of the restaurants made it onto the top 100 accredited restaurants in the world in Healdsburg. Now, when you're served water in Healdsburg, it's fluoridated, because Healdsburg is the only city within Sonoma County that has been fluoridated since the 1950s. So with that and the control that fluoride has over the population, they enacted the inability for people in Healdsburg that are on city water. They cannot water anything outside their home. And they're given an app to regulate their interior usage to make certain that they don't exceed their interior water allocation. The city has allowed for each homeowner that requests, which certainly eliminates the liability from the city, to deliver sewer waste tertiary heavily treated urine, fecal, and pharmaceuticals. And it's delivered in these little trucks, and it's pumped into these plastic containers that each homeowner must buy, along with the submersible pumps to pump it out, and hoses. Now, each homeowner that applies must and are told to pump this out of these containers within the first 48 hours, because mixture gets very thick and slimy and stinks. And it can clog up the submersible pump and not pump out. It also gets molds as well. And so they're, again, encouraged to pump that out within 48 hours after they take delivery. They get a little over 500 gallons of that per week. And that is what people are doing and using on their property to keep their large landscaping alive, because we're talking about an area that has mature, beautiful landscaping. The lawns are all dead. They're only interested in keeping their large landscaping alive. And I can tell you, when you watch that video and you've listened to me speak in the past, I have a video up called The Sewer Poop Tour. And my husband and I toured through a sewer operation here in Sonoma County. Again, it's called The Sewer Poop Tour. You may want to watch it, because the fellow that took us on this tour, I asked him, because you'll see in the filming these huge, they look like pools of thick sewer and the mixture of all that's excreted from us. And there was not very much to prevent somebody from falling in. So I asked him, what would happen if you fell in? And he said, well, no one could jump in after you, and it would be your luck. And I said, what do you mean, be your luck? Whether you'd survive or not, because it's so toxic. You've got to watch that. Sewer Poop Tour. It's criminal what's happening, and they have to get rid of the waste. And but here in Sonoma County, they have other plans. We're working with the department, or our county's working with the Department of Defense. And they have been fracking, using the sewer, pumping it up 40 miles to a geyser, and putting it down boreholes that are over 13,000 feet in depth, and they've been generating electricity with it. But in the meantime, there's quite a bit of lethal toxic gases that are emitted from the hills of the geyser, and plus the fact that that fracking is causing many earthquakes. So the homes that are on those mountains are suffering continual window breakage, certainly chimney separation, and there is no recourse for them. And in fact, after the fire, I found this horrifying. There was an area that was pretty much fully burned out. It was in the foothills, and they were told they would not be able to get building permits reissued. And they said because they're in an active geo area. Well, what ended up happening is the homeowners went ballistic because they needed to rebuild. They had just been burned out. And the city, to prevent, I believe, it was to prevent the flak and the awareness of what that geothermal operation was doing with constant earthquakes. And they issued building permits. But I can tell you now here, and in many other parts of the country, we can't get coverage. And all of you won't be able to either, because insurance is handled and run through the corporate structure by the likes of Rothschild, Rockefeller, and others. And they're pulling out of the insurance market because they know that the attacks are going to become far more severe. Because now remember, we're being told that we have code red over climate change, code red. So, Jana and Steve, I have to say that it's been a very difficult number of days for us up here in Northern California. We have been heavily, heavily chemically sprayed overhead today. We have many people that are losing housing. We have explosions like in all cities of homelessness, increased crime, and we have people that are losing jobs because of their belief system about the forced shots. And I want to leave, I think, everybody with this information about the quote-unquote shot vaccine, which it's not. I want to leave you all with this. I have on StopTheCrime.net a three-part video called Tolerance Lost. And it is three parts with Dr. Andrew Molden, who was a neurosurgeon in Canada. And he talked about what he discovered that was happening to us with the very first vaccine any of us ever had, including the polio. And he shows that we were all stroked out. We all had many strokes to one degree or another. And he shows that in pictures say you get your child picture when you were 3, then 5, 6, 8, 10, during the period of time that you would have been heavily vaccinated. And he shows how the facial symmetry changed. In other words, a child would have a dropped lid, an eyelid, or the eye would be sagging in one corner. Such with a lip, or a whole cheek could be sagging. In other words, all of us can start looking around at all of us and start seeing the enormity of the vaccine damage, even from the polio vaccine. And who knew that Jonas Salk was a eugenist and that the polio vaccine was intended to cause polio? Who knew? Who knew? We didn't. But what I did not know about Dr. Andrew Molden, and I only recently discovered, because he was suicided. He knew about the New World Order. He spoke about what was going to happen in Canada. And he did an amazing job at describing how this was going to happen. And it is, and this is happening worldwide. So I can say that there were many reasons that Dr. Molden was murdered, and it was not only for his research in the discovery of how we were all being poisoned and being given strokes, even back then, strokes. And it showed up in the eyes, and he showed the consequences of autism, etc. So it all goes back to the executive orders. We've been under executive orders since 1933. And again, it's been able to be maintained because they've maintained sufficient belief amongst all of us. And that's what's happened. So with that, Steve and Yana, I want to certainly thank you for allowing me to discuss this. And I certainly would like everyone to go to stopthecrime.net, to our Odyssey video channel, and also sign up, because you will get some of our email blast outs. What I am finding, though, is that we're being interfered with, so that people that sign up and they think they've signed up, then they're dropped after a while. So the compression of communication is becoming more rigid. I read to you as part of the executive orders that they would control all communication, and they are.
Yeah. Well, in regards to your first part of this program, where you spoke of digital COVID from this document from World Health Organization.
Yes.
We have discussed in 2020 programs with you and also from Steve's intel. They said that they have a plan to return us to 17th century. That we will be living like people lived in 17th century.
Well, actually, what's interesting about that, Yana, is the International Climate Accord does say that we will be returned to pre-industrial times. And when you look at that definition within their accords, as you said, it's in the mid-1700s.
Yeah.
The only problem now, and this is the sad reality, and this is what the preppers are not realizing, is that it won't be like in the mid-1750s, because we have technologies that control the weather. The earth has been poisoned on every level. There is not going to be the ability to get out there and collect food from the wild as we were. Prion disease is prevalent throughout the country in all animals.
In fact,
they're having a huge problem now with black bear here in Northern California and around Tahoe, and particularly in Mammoth, California. I was stunned to find out how many black bears are literally in town all the time in Mammoth Lakes in Northern California. And what is happening is many of these bears have prion disease, and they're getting closer to people. They're literally unable to function because they're dying. They've had tremendous loss of body weight. So have the deer. In fact, I recently was reading some information in upstate New York that hundreds and hundreds of deer have been found dead around water holes and ponds.
Yeah.
And they're wondering why, and they've all been malnourished. Well, prion disease is a disease that we were told in the NASA war document, Yana, that also would be aerosolized.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
As Ebola would be aerosolized as well.
That's right.
So we're living in a time, Yana, I know, it's hard.
Right. So, Deborah, pretty much this country is finished, but so is the whole world. All countries are, because this is a global plan.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay.
In the meantime, to have hope, we certainly recommend that people harden up in every way they can to be less easy to be killed. I think that's a good way to engage in what we can do. But other than that, there's not much else we can do. Well, wouldn't you agree?
Right, which we mean that lots of people are going, thinking that by writing letters to governors or mayors that they can change something.
You're not going to change anything that way
and,
at all.
And we know that everything, our court systems, a lot of people are suing government, federal government, and but the agenda still continues, right? Everything is going by the elite's plan. So we can see that nothing is in our favor as far as courts or writing letters to mayors. So that different type of action is needed. We have to realize we have to take it to our own hands. And this has been prepared for a very long time, very, very long time. So.
Well, I think it's important for people to realize that all laws created by these corporate governments and the corporations are private corporation regulations called public law, statutes, codes, and ordinances to conceal the true nature. Mm-hmm. And we've all been indoctrinated through programming and conditioning mm-hmm. and prejudice and patriotism to treat information like this as being ridiculous. It's hard for people to really understand that the federal and state governments are all corporations. They are privately owned corporations called governments. The judges are privately employed administrators called judges, and the law is nothing more than their corporate regulations called statutes.
Right.
And I think it's important, I would say, Yana, when I realized that I think that was one of the most difficult realizations to realize. Voting is a scam.
Right.
The entire system has been set up to control us and to keep us in a belief system that we can vote for change. When in fact, all of the leaders, most of them are all related.
Yes.
Through bloodlines.
No kidding. That's right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. And I guess I would like to just say, as far as the CDC is concerned, because people don't realize, or maybe they're starting to, that the CDC is a private for-profit corporation, and they're doing business.
Yes.
And it's not a government health advocacy organization like many people think. It's a corporation. It's listed on Dun & Bradstreet, just like the United States. And it's headquartered in the state of Georgia. And it works with and for the pharmaceutical industry. And its recommendations are influenced by their corporate profit. Now, the corporation has no moral values at all. Nothing.
Right.
And so they don't think of people because it's a corporate structure. That's why what we're seeing happening makes sense,
mm-hmm.
because it's void of ethics, morals, or the sense of life.
Yes.
And again, I think in my journey through this over many, 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 many years, understanding this aspect was the single most important thing. I will hear many alternative hosts and other shows talk about a new president can come in, or we can vote, or even the concern that the voting is all rigged. Of course it's all rigged. It's not even, the whole structure is rigged.
Right. It always was.
Not just the voting.
That's right. It always was, because I guess my point here for our listeners is that don't get distracted with all kinds of shows and people who are telling you 2024 Trump is coming in and things are going to get better. Nothing is going to get better. Just like Deborah told you, if you realize that United States of America is a corporation, government is a corporation, which is basically an artificial entity, it's a dead, and, you know, it comes from the word corpse, am I correct?
Yes.
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 Right. Okay, well, Deborah, Stephen, I'll let you to finish this program because we are out of time, but we are definitely going to have you back again and discuss a lot of other things. Go ahead, Steve.
Yes, definitely visit Deborah's website, stopthecrime.net, as well as primarywater.org, and get yourself educated on other topics and issues there, because we are truly living in a very precarious time that we're in right now. And prepare in every way you possibly can, because the days are drawing quickly to a close. So thank you for listening with Stephen Ayana Benoon and Deborah Tavares.
Thank you.